right. And grab a couple of pieces of candy. And there's children's church for you. And I invite the congregation to turn in their Bibles. Hold your finger on it to Luke 22. We have been looking at the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and us to pray. And very wonderfully, it's so nice to know that our God is a God who's in heaven, great and powerful, but he's also a God who walks with us. We see that most clearly in Jesus Christ walking with his disciples. He's a God who is out there but close by. We know that he is holy. That's hallowed be thy name, that he is to be regarded as holy. We should anticipate encountering God to such a degree that you feel his bigness. Anyone who encountered God in the scripture didn't go like, "Oh, hey God, you're so nice." When the holiness of God invades our life, it is a terrifying thing because we are unholy. And yet we should take heart because Jesus said that his greatness and our smallness is not too big of a gap for him to reach through. Your kingdom come, we looked at that last week. More and more every day in our personal lives, in the life of our congregation, and as we continue, time marches on to that day when his kingdom is fully realized, we should be more and more seeing his kingdom come in our hearts, in our lives, in our family life, in our church life, in our community life, nation and world. The kingdom of God is advancing until that glorious day. Today we're going to look at Thy Will Be Done, which flows out of the first two. So, in the first three commandments, and this is, or not commandments, the first three petitions, we are going to see how God, how we get into God's world. And the next three that we'll be covering next weekend on how God gets into our world. So, please join me with your voice as we get ready for this, and let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Reading from Luke 22, beginning at verse 39. This was on the night of Jesus' betrayal, the night that he was arrested. He went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. flows so easy off of our lips, but try to live that in our ordinary everyday life is strenuous. It's beyond our ability to do. Johnny Erickson Tada, most of you will know her name. She was just an ordinary teenage girl doing things that she loved doing, playing ball, hiking, swimming, diving. One day in 1967, getting into the pool, she misjudged the distance of the water and the rocks beneath it, and she was left paralyzed. Now, you may have heard her story before, but at first she was despairing, but then hopeful. I am going to walk one day. And she prayed earnestly, "Father, let me walk again." And she tried everything, did everything that she understood the Bible told her to do. She was anointed with oil. She had people coming and praying for her regularly, but the healing that she longed for never came. And as time went on, she began to fight depression. Can you imagine that? What could be better, Lord, than just to let me walk again? Life is not worth living, she began to say to herself, because I can't do anything. I'm totally dependent on everyone to help me up in the morning, to feed me. I am just having such a hard time. She fought depression and wrestled even with suicidal thoughts. Once she went to one of those revival meetings, those prayer meetings, those healing meetings, and she was there, and there was excitement in the air, and as the pastor prayed, and as healings took place, the spotlight shone on that corner of the building. There's a healing going on. And then it was over there. There's more healings going on. People were celebrating and rejoicing, and her hope was rising. I hope that spotlight comes on me. And it never came on the wheelchair section, she recalls. Never did. Not that night. And even to this day, she has not experienced healing. I don't know if your story of your life, if you ever have any prayers that you have prayed and never got an answer. At least not the answer that you had prayed for. Maybe your situation isn't this drastic, but you prayed for healing, for health, for job, for family unity, for world peace. We pray for years and years for Leah Sharibu in Kenya to be, or Nigeria to be returned. She's still in captivity. Why, Lord? What's the purpose? It's one thing to pray, "Father, your will be done." It's harder to see it being done from our point of view, and yet Jesus tells his disciples, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, pray, "Father, your will be done." Can you imagine a world like that, where God's will was perfectly obeyed? What if humans everywhere and God were all on the same page? It's like heaven on earth, right? Well, C.S. Lewis had said it so well. There are two kinds of people in the world today. Those who say, "God, your will be done." And those to whom God says, "Your will be done." You ever think about if your prayers got answered the way you wanted them to, would life be better? Your will be done. See, God gives us a certain measure of freedom. A freedom to accept his will or to put our own wills on that throne that only can belong to Him. The problem is that we all choose our will every time. All of us do that. It's our nature. We're wired that way. It's hard to do anything else. That's the bad news. Praying your kingdom comes means we have to surrender our wills to God. We cannot have it both ways. That is so different than what our culture tells us. It's all about you. You shine. You are the center of the universe. All things must be according to your will. It's all about you. We don't like that God doesn't answer our prayers. But if you think about it, when we get our way time and time again, you see that that's the problem with our world. Siblings fight. Neighbors build fences. Politicians dig in their heels. Parents clash. Nations break treaties. A clash of wills, and ultimately these clashes are a symptom of a more foundational clash that is going on. We naturally rebel against God's will. In Genesis 6, God came down to view His people on earth. God always knows what His people are doing, but this is just the Bible's way of saying that God pays attention to our lives. And He walked into the midst of His people. And what did He see? He saw that every inclination of a person's heart is evil from childhood. He said that before the flood. Genesis 8 happens after the flood. That same impulse continues. James, we reflected on him a few months back. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Brothers and sisters, family, church, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. See the battle of the wills going on there? It's all about me. I want what I want when I want. And that's why I love the authors of the Catechism highlight it so well. Did you catch that? What does it mean, thy will be done? Help. Help us, Lord. Help us reject our own will. Help us to work as willingly and faithfully as your angels in heaven. It's a battle. It's a battle to fight that urge. It's a battle to squelch our own desires. Help us, Lord, to do what the angels in heaven do. And when we do that, trust me. Trust me, because the Bible gives ample evidence, and you see this all around. No one who leans into doing God's will more and more will find life depressing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Think Johnny Erickson Tata. Think Leah Sharibu. Think of those who have to live their life. But you will notice in each one of those situations that there is a joy that cannot be contained. Because what we are doing here on earth is our future in heaven. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to do God's will perfectly without sin. That's wonderful. Jesus said, if you keep my commands, in other words, if you do my Father's will, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There is nothing better, brothers and sisters, hear this loud and clear. There is nothing better than to be in the center of God's will. Whatever that is, whatever you want to do in my life, it's okay, Lord. I surrender it to you. And it's going to be okay. And there is such a joy that wells up. And nothing that happens to you and I are apart from God's will. How do you know this? You know, what you talk about what is God's will, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But God has what is called in theology his decretive will or his decrees. Sometimes we call that his secret will. There are things that God's doing that we know nothing about. I don't know why I was born in this point in time in history, you might say, but God does. I thought I was going to be a farmer, and here I am, a preacher. I don't think Johnny Erickson Tata was thinking about Johnny and Friends, a ministry that has blessed so many lives, encouraged so many suffering souls. But that was not on her radar when she was diving into the pool in Chesapeake Bay. And yet there she is. God's will. How do we know God's will? Read the Bible regularly. Pray continually. Seek wise counsel when you're stumped. Talk to others that are wiser than you. It's not rocket science. It's just natural. Journal, reflect, do things, but lean into it. Johnny cried out regularly, God, why won't you heal me? And to this day, she continues to believe that God can, could, have her just walk out of that wheelchair. What a testimony that would be. But God said, no, I have a better plan. You don't know what that is. That's God's secret will. But then there's also his revealed will, and this is what we really have to focus on. What has God said in the Bible? It's important to go there. It's no secret what God wants for us there. God says, I don't want anybody to be lost. I want everyone to be saved. That's his will. I want them to become holy, more like Jesus, every day. I want them to accept persecution when it arises. I want them to trust and obey me with all of their heart. And I'm going to give you examples in the Bible of when his saints did it well, when they didn't, the lessons that they learned. That's what we need to lean into more and more. God's revealed will in the Bible. It's the only way in which we know Jesus Christ better every day. It's the only way in which we can understand the beautiful creation that God made. Here's how Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your way and acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Paul says it this way, do not conform to the pattern or the mold of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. That's, brothers and sisters, why we must persist in this prayer. John MacArthur calls this a righteous rebellion, reflecting on Luke 18. Jesus told a parable about a widow who was having some kind of unjust treatment done to her. And in Luke 18, this is your homework assignment, you can read it, and she was just praying over and over again, give me justice to a judge. He didn't care about her. He was not really a straight judge, he was a crooked judge. But she badgered him over and over until he said, this lady is driving me insane. I'm just going to give her what she asks for because otherwise I'm just going to go bonkers here. And Jesus said, like that widow, we need to storm the gates of heaven. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying and surrendering. Your will be done. The most clear example we have of that is Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a sad and yet a wonderful picture. Jesus, who was fully in touch with his heavenly Father, who loved God. Jesus given us a picture of what it means to hold on to the Father's love. Father, you know all things. You know all things. He didn't say, if you really cared for me, you wouldn't make me go through this. He anchored himself in the unchanging love of his Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's not doubting. He was wrestling with the weight of his call. This is the plan of God from all eternity. And Jesus, the man, was living into that, knowing that I don't know as a human if I can do this. Father, strengthen me. And did you see what happened? Jesus prayed that prayer. An angel came down. You think like, okay, now Jesus is going to go, I'm on my way to the cross again. In greater agony, he prayed deeply. Sometimes God doesn't take away those things that weigh us down. But oh, brothers and sisters, he has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. There is a purpose and a reason for our life. And it is because Jesus actually went all the way. He drank the bitter cup to the very end so that you and I could then also have the strength to stay with the Father's love, to trust in God's power. Everything is possible for you. Father, Jesus said at the end of his cross, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. See, God didn't take away the cup from Johnny. God didn't take the cup away from Jesus. And because of what Jesus Christ did, Johnny was later able to say that God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. And then she says, my paralysis is my greatest mercy. Now, replace her paralysis with your situation. What is so overwhelming that you can't carry it anymore? Can you say, God has chosen to hold me in the midst of this? My fill in the blank is my greatest mercy. See, when the spotlight doesn't come to your section, when you don't have the answer to your prayer that you desire, you can trust that God does. He holds us. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a thing that we can celebrate. The Bible assures us that one day we will look back on our lives just as we look back on Christ's life now and say like, oh, I get how he had to die in our place. We are going to be able to look back at the end of our lives and understand why the Father denied some of our most heartfelt requests. And then we will say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Until then, brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. Keep on praying. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Father, indeed, help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. Your will alone is good. So help us one and all to carry out the work that you have called us to do it as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Amen. So glad that there are examples in our life of brothers and sisters who have run the race, who have run it effectively and strong. Through the years, the Apostles' Creed has been given to us, and I would invite you to arise and to say this as we transition communion. As brothers and sisters, let us join our voices together with one another and with our brothers and sisters through the years and with those who are in the presence of God right now and say with heart and voice, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ,